will make America great again.
For WTOP News, it's the Book Report. I'm Tariq King. Out Tuesday, January 16th, from One Signal, Atria Simon & Schuster's The MAGA Diaries, My Surreal Adventures, Inside the Right Wing and How I Got Out by Tina Nguyen. Tina's a national correspondent for PUC, covering the world of Donald Trump and the American right. She previously covered the White House for Politico and was a staff reporter for Vanity Fair Hive and an editor at Mediaite. Thank you, Tina, so much for being with us on the Book Report today.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. What would you say essentially is the story that this book tells? What is this book about?
It's a really weird approach to a political book. Basically, it's a coming-of-age memoir that tracks my growth from a young idealistic journalist into the current state of the world we're in, with a very long detour slash journey into the far-right movement that birthed Donald Trump and gave him power. Basically, I describe it as What If the Devil Wears Prada was about the rise of authoritarianism.
You found your way through it as essentially an observer, a journalist. There was no real drink the Kool-Aid moment for you. But the institutions where you were, that exposed you to basically certain networks, and it just kind of happened to be in a rightward direction.
It's a political influence operation, I guess, that just started about, I think, in the 1960s. You have a system that's taking young people and turning them into powerful people. And there are so many ways to become powerful, but all you need to do is go up to an older person, be impressive, be promising, and they'll go, man, okay, here's some attention, here's some money, let's see how far you can go. And I got out right before I realized exactly what that ideological commitment meant, and I just like could not make it.
Just tell us a little bit about how your upbringing in the Boston area drew you as a young person to a more kind of conservative worldview.
I followed a boyfriend of mine to Claremont McKenna. And one of the things that drew me there was that there was an institution, the Salvatore Center for the Study of Individual Freedom in the Modern World. And my brain is going, oh my God, I love this already. It's about the ideals of the American founding, plus a belief that people can rise to the top because of their own merits. I'm going to go here. And from that, I just became a giant nerd about the entire thing. And the journey of the book goes from me thinking about conservatism as an academic practice until I start learning that the conservative movement is a thing that also exists. And that is a mechanism that's designed to gain influence and power. And that I didn't realize at all until maybe a year out of college.
You did mention following a boyfriend to Claremont, but this relationship started at high school, right? When you were at Milton Academy, when you were doing your applications. Now, this boyfriend would ultimately become known as a prominent alt-right activist. If you want to talk about who it is, I'm fine, or you can leave that for the reader. But I'm wondering if that relationship, because you were at the time even somewhat happy to see Barack Obama elected, relatively. So did that relationship further influence your personal politics in any way? I couldn't tell that.
That was a question I really struggled with for the longest time, too. The boyfriend, the gruesome details of that you can read about in the book, but I would say as an intellectual influence, he was somewhat minor. He had his own path that he wanted to take through life. And the thing about the conservative movement is that there are multiple ways for one to succeed within it. The reason ultimately that I ended up inside the movement was literally because an institute funded partially by Koch brother money was looking for young journalists who wanted an internship in the summer of 2009 at a news outlet to build a clip file and would pay them to do that, which is the big differentiator. But those students just had to be, quote unquote, liberty minded. And my goal ultimately was to be a journalist.
OK, so how do we get from here, and maybe not you specifically, but maybe someone who you know in this network, how do we get from here to storming the Capitol? Does that connection exist, or even becoming an apologist for someone who stormed the Capitol?
Yeah. There's a person in the book, that mentor of mine who I built my entire career from, who launched me into the system. He had put together this program that attracted so many wannabe journalists to it. But the mentor himself started identifying people who were truer to the cause than everyone else was. And I learned very far in the future that I had been someone he was trying to cultivate, but then he was also cultivating actual white nationalists who thought that minorities should not have any rights and that Hitler was really great. Like, those were people inside the group that he found and identified and launched into the ecosystem. And the thing that he was doing, though, is that he's taking these people and placing them into right-wing media publications who most likely did not want that crap in their editorial content to begin with. But they were actively discussing in the background how they would sneak their ideas into these publications. And the lesson that I took from that was that there were people inside these networks who always held these beliefs, but kind of learned to tamp it down so they would have opportunities to rise and have careers and jobs. And they were always trying to find people within that network who had those ideas secretly too.
I hope it's okay to quote this, but that there was a man by the name of Riddle, and he says that the country has seen the decimation of the progressive batch that the conservative movement has been planning for 40 or 50 years and spending hundreds of millions of dollars and investing in their own depth of their bench, the farm team, he called it. And so is that essentially the difference that you think is between the so-called right and the so-called left?
There's absolutely no equivalent to this on the left. And that shocked me so much. Like, when I did this interview with the group you're talking about, the New Leaders Council, they had presented it as like, this is a new, innovative, exciting thing. And I did not know how, quote unquote, the other side worked. And I just worked under the assumption that the left had something similar. And the moment that I realized that they didn't, I was just started thinking, oh. Then over time, I did more reporting on it starting like 2017, 2018. And it was just so far behind compared to the network that I'd grown up in.
So the book is subtitled Your Surreal Adventures Inside the Right Wing and How You Got Out. I know you said that you couldn't make the ideological leap, that essentially you were a person looking for a career as a journalist and that there was a bridge too far for you. What was that bridge too far?
Surprisingly, it was not the Daily Caller. People will look at this book and think, oh man, she's got tea on Tucker Carlson. I'm going to read this. I did get fired from the Caller. I go into that pretty in depth. But what happened was that I kept going back to the mentor that the journalism program provided me. He had literally enrolled me in a mentorship program with the promise of getting me jobs inside journalism and shaping my career and putting me on the right path. And he started giving me all of these interviews that seemed more and more and more sketchy. One of them was a place called Accuracy in Academia, where I would be writing up reports on things that happened inside academic conferences, which just seemed too much for me. Like, I believe in the free academic discourse. I don't like the idea of people trying to weaponize folks just trying to discuss something and then turn it into an internet like doxing campaign. So I turned that down. There was another group that he introduced me to that wanted me to move to Madison, Wisconsin to report on teachers unions and specifically how bad they were. And they're like, we'll give you a stipend and an apartment and it'll be a great place for you to do muckraking. And it was just so specific that I felt weird about it. So I turned that down. The third one I did take very briefly for like 3 weeks, but it was someone who was looking for a Washington Stringer, aka someone who just like filed from Washington, for a pretty anodyne sounding newspaper called the Colorado Observer. And the moment I get in, they start asking me to write all of these pieces about Democrats acting shady. And I'm doing my diligence on it. And I'm saying, wait, the Republicans are also doing this too. And the editor, and I kid you not, just goes, yeah, but no one's calling out the Democrat for doing it. Imagine if this guy were a Republican, how much the Post would be on him. And his obsession with that was so jarring to me that I looked into his background. And not only was he never a journalist to begin with, He was an employee of Americans for Freedom and Prosperity, one of the Koch brother networks. And then before that was the chief of staff to an actual, a guy who I would kind of maybe describe as white nationalist. And for something in 2011, that's a lot.
I want to talk about these people who are MAGA adherents, who are not invited to the think tanks, that don't build careers off of that movement, but they just send their contributions and they give it their votes. What do you say of them? And maybe a little bit, if you know, about how they are viewed inside the movement that you came to know.
I think the media environment that bred the MAGA movement has so much to do with it. Like the Daily Caller and Breitbart and all of these places that I mentioned as right-wing, almost like right-wing reporters verging to right-wing propagandists, all came out of organizations like from the conservative movement, from donors who were like, oh my God, yes, I want to back a blog or a person who is trying to bring the truth to the American people. Like, it was not just Fox that bred this movement. Fox, if anything, tried to stop Donald Trump multiple times. But what the internet taught people like Andrew Breitbart and people like Tucker and all of the other blogs that came past it was that there was no gatekeeper to what was considered right-wing anymore. They could publish whatever they wanted on the internet for extremely cheap. And once Donald Trump comes in as a really prominent avatar of everything buried deep, deep, deep inside the mind of someone who wanted to be that way but just knew they couldn't, it just was off to the races. Like, there's literally an entire industry of highly influential, I'd say MAGA influencers, including some of the people who organized January 6th, who became prominent because Trump would retweet them. Like, you could build an entire career off of being retweeted by Donald Trump.
What can reading this book help people who are outside the so-called MAGA bubble understand about the people who are in it? And I understand it's your very specific journey. But if there's something that you really think that people who are outside of this can understand that they don't already understand going into this election year, what would you say that is?
The thing that's always informed my reporting and makes me, I would say, really good at reporting on the MAGA beat is that it's not an ideology that's making Trumpism and MAGAism motivating force in America. It's the organizational structure that can get it from Donald Trump's brain to actionable policy. And the difference between Trump shouting into the void all these ideas about, you know, let's shut down the border and also drink bleach, it's influenced by these media networks that quickly disseminate this information to millions and millions of voters in places that you wouldn't even expect them to reach.
And before we go, one other character that I want to touch on who played an important role in your upbringing, instilling in you your work ethic, I think I'd say your core values, but definitely your drive, was your mother. And your mother is an awesome running commentator throughout your journey. She is just awesome. So if nothing else, you're going through your journey through the right wing, and every now and then we get her opinion, and it's just a wonderful ingredient to the book. Did she ever express to you any issues with the fact or the content of what it was that you were working on during those times? And did she ever have any issues with the direction that your sort of life was taking, the people you were meeting, some of the ideas?
If she did, she didn't particularly express them. She's only wanted all of us, my sisters and I, to be okay. Like, to be able to feed ourselves and have health insurance and have a stable career. And obviously, she had grand wishes for all of us, but she was a refugee. She knew that life wasn't always going to be sunshine and rainbows, but she was also an idealist and strove really, really hard to get there. And she just wanted everything to be fine with me. And on the flip side, her absolute lack of understanding of American society and how it worked at a certain level was just so evident. that when I got the job at Vanity Fair, her first question was, does that have health insurance? And she did not know anything about the importance of Vanity Fair until she visited my building, which is One World Trade Center, and was like, oh, you work at a real place.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. I wish you the very best with the book, The MAGA Diaries, My Surreal Adventures Inside the Right Wing and How I Got Out. Tina Nguyen, thank you so much for being with me on The Book Report today.
This was awesome. Thanks for having me.
And I thank everyone for listening to this edition of The Book Report. For WTOP News, I'm Tariq King.